I think you know what day today is, huh? It's Good Friday, or some people call it Holy Friday. And ideally, it's the day that we remember the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And just because of that, we are going to reflect on the suffering Savior, amen? And, you know, to the outside world, it does not make sense. Why did Jesus have to suffer? And that is one of the biggest questions that people ask. I mean, was there no other way? I mean, God could just have said, you are all forgiven, yes? But you see, one of the things about God is that he is a God of order. He is a God of justice. He is also, whatever he has said, has to be, okay? So if he has said something, he is also bound by his own work. Now, when Adam and Eve, in the Bible, when they were put in the garden, they were told, the day that you shall eat of that fruit, you will die. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means that for you, the reward of sin is what? Death. To God, anyone that has done sin must die. Now think about it. When the angels, when Satan and his angels, when they sinned, they were cast out of heaven. There was no repentance for them. Now, if man also sinned and was not punished, the devil has a right to go to heaven and say, this person also sinned, he deserves to be punished. Now that is why the Bible calls the devil the accuser of brothers, the accuser of brethren. Why? Because he moves around. If he had a camera or a video camera, he moves around with a video camera and he is recording anything wrong you have done. He says, no, I have captured it. And then he runs to heaven and says, look here, this one does not deserve the mercy of God. This one does not deserve the blessing of God. This one sinned when he was a teenager. This one is a constant liar. This one stole from the office. This one, there is no way they deserve the mercy of God. And now what God does is that he has to employ the principle of substitution. Now, substitution is someone has to die for your place. In the times, in those times, and even in some situations where if in case they cannot catch your brother, they will arrest you, right? There are countries that operate like that. If you have stolen, they will arrest you, and then they will tell your family, produce your brother. Then otherwise, this one is in prison. Now, is the same principle that God used, he had to use his own son to die such that he can exchange us. Because as human beings, we deserve death. Because Adam sinned, every man sinned. Now, when we think of the suffering of Jesus, we know his suffering starts early. You know, and he suffers various ways. And we're going to look at the three forms of suffering that Jesus went through. And the first suffering that Jesus went through is that he suffered physically. He suffered in his body. In Luke chapter 22, verse 63, the Bible tells us, now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? And with many other things, they blasphemously spoke against him. Luke 23 verse 11, then Herod with his men of war, they treated him with contempt, they mocked him. They put him on a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. They treated him unfairly. You can imagine. They Luke chapter 23, verse 18 to 21. And they all cried out with one voice, saying, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, and who has been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion he made in the city, and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them, but they said, crucify him. What did the soldiers do? They put a crown of thorns over his head. Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers took Jesus, took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed on his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." They spat on him. They took the reed and struck him on the head, and they had him mocked. And they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Verse 32, they made him to carry his own cross. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled him to bear his cross, and when they had come to the place called Golgotha, the place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mixed with gall to drink. Can you imagine how much torture they beat him? They beat him. And you know that time when a Roman beats you, is enough punishment. It's like he was double punished. Because by the time you are scourged, the whips, they have put nails at the end. They have put glasses. They have put, you know, nails and tooths and sharp tooths. And by the time they hit you and they bring back the skin, it tears the clothes. It tears your skin. And by the time someone was scourged by that, actually most people did not survive. Because by the time you are beaten, you lose blood. You lose your tissue. Even if you recover, your skin becomes infected. And you end up dying. So he was beaten. On top of that, they take a crown of thorns. You can imagine one, it's like a needle. One needle, if it is put on your skin, many people when they go to the doctors, they cry. Just one needle, they can't see the needle. Now imagine a crown. That means it was not organized. They squeezed it on his head. He bled from his head. They beat him on his back. He bled from his back. The Bible tells us that when by his stripes we were healed, he was beaten. And on top of that, what we know is that he was crucified even naked. That means he took our shame for us. He was shamed for us. You know, when crucifixion happened, it was actually a capital punishment. In fact, they reserved it for thieves, for criminals. And what they will do is that they will hang you on the tree. And that hanging was by nails. You know, you can imagine, they won't look for clean nails. They will look for rusted nails. 6 inches, big nails. And these ones are put through your hand. And most of the time, they will tie your legs. They will nail your legs. They will also nail your hands. And then the person is hanging there and is struggling to breathe. Because for you to breathe, you have to push yourself up. So you squeeze yourself on the nails that are on your feet for you to breathe. Now what happens when the person is unable without the energy to again push up, and you pull yourself through the nails in your hands, you push on your feet, that is the only way you can breathe. When that person is unable to, they die. Now, some people were strong, so they can stay even on the cross for 2 weeks. So what the soldiers will do, they will come and break the legs. Now when the legs are broken, then this person can no longer lift themselves up to breathe. The person dies. So Jesus suffered really physically. He was crucified. On top of that, you can see that he was also thirsty. John chapter 19 verse 28, the Bible tells us that after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished and the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." This showed us as a human being, he suffered on the cross, that he was beaten, he bled, he was dehydrated, that he even asked for water. He said he was thirsty, and instead of giving him water, they gave him sour wine mixed with vinegar, and they put it in his mouth. The Bible says, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Even after he died, it was not enough. When they wanted to take his body, they came and found that he was dead. But to confirm that he was dead, they took a spear and pierced his body. And what came out was water and blood. That means that the blood had already separated from the serum, from the water, to show that he was truly dead. And the Bible tells us that they took his body and they went and buried it. If it is physical suffering, Jesus suffered for us. And the Bible tells us that he was beaten so that we can be made whole. That means it is illegal for the devil to put sickness on your body. Why? Because your body, the body of Jesus, suffered for the sake of our healing. The second suffering that Jesus went through is that he also suffered emotionally. His emotions were hurt. He was in a lot of struggle for the will of God. You can imagine, this is someone who has never known sin. He does not know what sin is. He does not know, he has never been separated from the Father. And he knows at this time he is going to be separated. And that is why when he is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22, verse 42, he says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not your will, but my will be done." He knew that it was going to be a painful process. And he tells God, "God, if it is your will, take this cup of suffering away from me." And the Bible tells us that an angel appeared from heaven, strengthening him, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You can imagine, he's sweating so much until it becomes like great drops of blood. The Bible says when he rose up from prayer, he found his disciples sleeping. You carried your friends. You expect that your friends are going to help you in prayer. You expect your spouse is going to help you in prayer, but they're sleeping. Jesus suffered emotionally. Jesus also suffered betrayal. I know today we are betrayed in many ways. Jesus was betrayed with a kiss. In fact, the Bible says, Luke 22, verse 48. Okay, verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those around him saw what was going to happen, they asked, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them, this was Peter, he struck the servant of the high priest, cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said to them, "Leave it to be as it so." And he healed the man's ear. And then he asked him, "Am I a thief that you have come to me with swords and clubs?" So Jesus was betrayed by his own disciple that he walked with. Jesus, apart from that, he was also denied by his own disciples. Peter denied him. And he had warned Peter. He told him, "Peter, I know you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, "No, I will never deny you." He was denied. You can imagine the servant girl, Luke 22, verse 56, comes to Peter and says, "This man was with Jesus." He denied, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, another saw him and said, "You are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." After about an hour, another confidently affirmed, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you are saying." Other versions say he started cursing. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. He had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Many times we blame Peter, but I acknowledge Peter. Because there are times when you are put to the wire. When the terrorists have come, some people will say, no, me, I am not a Christian. Peter denied him. In fact, at least Peter was there. The other disciples all ran away. At least Peter had the courage to follow from a distance. Although when he was shaken, he denied him. Jesus was abused by the scribes. He was mocked by the soldiers. Even on the cross, the two thieves are abusing him. You can see, one thief says, "If you are the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us also?" The soldiers ask him, "If you are truly the Son of God, come down from the cross." They're expecting that if you are the Son of God, come down. But Jesus has to fulfill, because he knows this is the will of God. The only way that they are going to be saved is you and I, is if he pays the price, the full price for our sins. You can imagine how he has to hand over the responsibility of his mother. John chapter 19 verse 25. How much emotional. You are a son. You are being crucified. And your mother is there. And you tell the other disciple, "John, please, this is your mother. Take care of her." The Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.'" You can see how Jesus is interacting. He's suffering emotionally. He has to hand over even his mother to John. And beyond that, Jesus also felt abandoned by God the Father. Matthew 27 verse 46, the Bible says that, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" And some people stood there, they heard, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink and said, "Leave him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded his spirit. Jesus suffered physically, Jesus suffered emotionally. And the third level of suffering that Jesus did is that he suffered spiritually. He was separated from the Father. Jesus had enjoyed a close relationship with the Father. Before creation, he was with the Father. In fact, he says when he prays, he says, "Return to me with the glory I had with the Father." When he was on the earth, he was constantly praying with the Father. He says that, "I can do nothing except my Father does it." But on the cross, the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That means that Jesus was made sin that very moment. If you can think about it, whether it is adultery, Jesus was made it. Whether it is corruption, Jesus was made it. Whether it is stealing, Jesus was made it. He became sin. Not that he was even made a sinner. He became sin itself. The Bible says he was made sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What God did on the cross is that he placed every sin of us, whether that we have done in the past, that we might do, it was placed on Christ. Such that there can be an exchange. The only reason you can become righteous, why? Is because every sin was laid on him. Now, this is where he suffered spiritually. This is someone who has never sinned. Jesus has never been sinned. He never sinned before, but he is made sin. That already contaminates him. In fact, he carries our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 2 verse 24, the Bible says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. God is saying, the only reason I became sin is so that you will become righteous. And today, if you have believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what the devil will tell you. The devil will tell you, oh, you're a sinner. But you can tell him, I am the righteousness of God. Because of exchange. Because of substitution. Because of the cross of Jesus. You know, God does not look at sin. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Habakkuk 1 verse 13 says, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil. In fact, theologians say that at that point when Jesus on the cross, God had to look away because he cannot see sin. And so he was separated spiritually. Now, apart from separation spiritually, he now died. That means he submitted himself to death and then he went to hell. The Bible tells us he descended into hell. In fact, when he was praying in Psalm 16 verse 10, the Psalm says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Sheol is hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 9 says, now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended into the lowly parts of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fulfill all, he might fill all things. That means that when Jesus died, he went down. Why? Because at that point he was made sin. Now, since he was made sin, sin goes where? Sin goes?
Yeah.
So, he has gone to hell on your behalf so that you don't go to hell if you believe in Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, when he went to hell, what did he do? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. That means he was just, he suffered for us who are unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. Verse 19, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who were formerly disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. That means that even when he went to hell, he went to preach to those who died in the time of Noah. Even in hell, he had to fight with the devil. He had to defeat the devil. In fact, the Bible tells us, Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Jesus went and defeated the devil. In fact, verse 15 of Colossians 2 says, he has disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. So he has disarmed principalities and powers. And Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 tells us that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus suffered physically. He suffered emotionally. He also suffered spiritually. He had to go and contend, and he came out victorious. Let us look at the 7 sayings of Jesus on the cross. The first saying of Jesus on the cross is that he spoke to the soldiers. In Luke 23 verse 34, he said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We are told to follow the example of Jesus. And what example does he show us? He shows us the example of forgiveness. You know, people can hurt you. Your own spouse, your own brothers can hurt you. Your own colleagues can hurt you. But the example of Jesus, he just said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. We learn from what he says on the cross, that we forgive even before people ask for forgiveness. Were those soldiers asking for forgiveness? No. In fact, they were happy that they were crucifying him. But he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The second saying of Jesus is he speaks to the thief on the cross. The one told him, save yourself. The other rebuked the other criminal and said, don't you know that this is a righteous man? And he says, Master, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus on the cross assures us of salvation. But if you believe in me, that thief on the cross did not have much time. He did not have time to be a good person. All he had to say is, remember me. At times, that's all we need to cry to Jesus. You just tell Jesus, remember me. And he says, today, today, you will be with me in paradise. Then we have read the third saying where he hands over the responsibility of his mother. And he tells John, the disciple he loves, woman, behold your son. And he says to the disciple, behold your mother. He was showing us that he was the firstborn son. He had responsibility for his mother. But at that point, because he knows he's going, he hands over the responsibility and says, woman, your son. And mother, disciple, behold your mother. He was still a responsible son, even on the cross. The fourth saying of Jesus on the cross is his cry out in a loud voice, Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, some people say, Jesus died as he was God when he died. No, he died as a human. He was abandoned. He knew that God had forsaken him. Why? Because at that point, he was made sin that he might become the righteousness of God. We can see the reality of human suffering. We can see the reality of abandonment. We can see the reality of his humanity. He was truly a man. And that's why he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What is the other saying? We have looked at his, where he says, I am thirsty. I thirst. He was dehydrated. He hung on the cross and he suffered as a man. He suffered for me and you. He suffered for my sins, for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. The sixth saying of Jesus on the cross is John 19 verse 30. And so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. That word there is a Greek word that means, that is written telestai, it is finished. The meaning of telestai is paid in full. He was saying that the debt, the punishment for humans, for sin, has been paid in full. You know, at times we think that we need to pay some more. We need to do some extra things to pay for going to heaven. No. Your going to heaven is only paid by Jesus. Going to heaven is only paid by Jesus. You will never be able to pay for it. It doesn't matter how much offerings you give. It doesn't matter how much of a good person you are. The only person that will take us to heaven is Jesus. We can only enter heaven by the blood. And that is why he said it is finished. That means it is paid in full. Redemption, the plan of God to save man, is paid in full. And the last saying that he says on the cross is Luke 23 verse 46. And Jesus, having cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. You know, Jesus knew that he's dying as a man. And the only way that he can be resurrected is by depending on God. That's why he says, Father, I give you my spirit. He showed us that we must constantly depend on God. Every day when you wake up, tell God, God, I give you my life. I commit my life to you. I commit my way to you. And that's why I was asking the question, so what does it mean for us? Why is the cross important for us today? I'll just give us 3 points and then we will close. Number one is redemption. And redemption is basically payment. Payment for forgiveness of sins. The Jews, every time they want to be forgiven, they take animals. Kill this cow, kill this sheep, kill this goat. Then they say the priest will sprinkle blood on them and say, okay, you're forgiven. But the Bible tells us that their consciences were not cleansed. That every year they have to be reminded of their sins. So every year they have to go and ask for forgiveness. But you see, when we are forgiven by God, he actually cleanses your conscience. If you have been forgiven by God, you know that you don't even remember what you sinned. It is only the devil who will remind you. Now, that is the beauty of the forgiveness of God. That he cleanses not only your sin, but also your conscience. That if you used to live a life of sin, that life of sin is cleansed. You find that your nature has been changed. That you no longer struggle with sin. That power of sin was translated that we can be made the righteousness of God. Today, that is why we can say you are a saint. You are the saints of God. You are the righteousness of God. Why? Because he made who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And the Bible tells us that all things are of God. God has reconciled himself to us. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing men's trespasses against them. That means that God was not counting the sins of man against them, but he is counting righteousness. I want you to believe that God has counted me righteous. If you believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the redemption, in the payment for sin, then when the devil reminds you of the sin, just tell him it was paid in full. It was paid on the cross. The second thing that the cross does for us is that it overcomes the devil and the enemies of man. The cross of Jesus defeated the devil. And you know why? Because the devil did not know. In fact, if the Bible tells us, if the rulers of this world had known, they would not have crucified Jesus. They would have allowed Jesus to die as an old man. They will not, because if they knew that the secret of salvation is the cross, they will not have crucified Jesus. But the devil does not know anything. He does not know your future. The cross defeats the devil. It defeats sin. In fact, sin is cleansed by Christ, the blood of Christ. In fact, the effects of sin, what are some of the effects of sin? Some of the effects of sin is poverty. Some of the effects of sin is suffering. Some of the effects of sin is death and sickness. All these are taken care of by the cross. So everything that the enemy plans is defeated by the cross. So the cross pays for our sin. The cross overcomes the devil, defeats the devil. And the third thing that the cross does is that it grants us eternal life, or the life of God. You know, God does not just pay you back. Well, God does not just buy you back. He does not just defeat the devil for you, but he gives you eternal life. And that means the eternal life is the life of God. John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This life is the life that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, John chapter 3 tells us, except a man is born again, born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except you come and receive the life of God, the Holy Spirit, except you become a son of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That means you are a son of God. I am a son of God. I am a child of God. God is my father. If you live your life knowing that God is your father, you will not fear. You will not fear men. You will not fear whether the contract date, end date has been given. Whether termination letter has been given, it does not matter. God is your father. That is the difference between someone who is living in eternal life with the life of God, with the presence of God in them, and someone who is living ordinary life. There is a certain confidence that God will give you, that you are assured God provides. It does not matter whether men change their decision or not. God has the final say. This is eternal life. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life. And life in abundance. I'll say three things that the cross does for us. The cross completes the work of redemption. The cross defeats the devil, sin and sinful nature, and the systems of the world. And the cross also comes to give us eternal life. Let's take a moment and reflect on that message. I'll ask us to stand and just take a moment and speak to God. Reflect on the suffering that our Savior did for us. Him being beaten on the cross was for you. You are the one supposed to have been beaten. Him being nailed on the cross was you, for you. We are the ones who are supposed to be nailed on the cross because of our sins. Him being mocked and abused, him being spat on, him being placed a crown of thorns on his head, it was for us. We are the ones that deserve that punishment because of the many sins that we have done against God. Him being separated from the Father, that was for us. And God sent his only Son to die for us, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Today, God wants you to be redeemed. He wants you to be bought back. He wants to pay the price for your sins. Will you let him? Will you say, God, I'm here. Forgive me. I have sinned in one way or another. I have sinned in many ways. Have mercy on me. The blood of Jesus is always available for those that are ready to say, God, have mercy on me. If you want God to have mercy on me, just speak to him. Ask him for forgiveness. He is your Father. He is your Father. Take a moment and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you with the blood of Jesus. Ask him to cleanse even your mind and your conscience. To not be constantly be reminded of sins of the past. Ask him to change your thought pattern. Ask him to change your system, to rework you, to give you power to overcome sin, to give you power to overcome fear, to give you power to overcome the devil. Maybe the devil has been oppressing you and you need him, the power of God. Take a moment and tell God, I need your power. I need your presence. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your children. Thank you that you suffered on the cross for me. You suffered on the cross for us. You were beaten. You were pierced. You were tortured.
You were nailed on the cross. And by this we receive the forgiveness of sins. Forgive us, O God. We have failed you in one way or another. Forgive us. Show us mercy. Show us mercy. Remember us. Remember us as a nation. We have failed you in one way or another. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Purify us, O God. Thank you that you are beaten for our healing. That, Lord, we receive the healing that comes from you, O God. By your blood we are entered the new covenant, O God. We are accepted as sons of God. Thank you that the cross disarmed the devil. It defeated every power of darkness. And Father, by authority of the blood of Jesus, the cross, we take captive every plan of darkness. We destroy every foundation of the enemy. Every plan of darkness, every oppression in this place, we take it out in the name of Jesus. And I declare freedom for the captives, freedom to those who are oppressed, freedom to those who are oppressed by the devil. I declare their freedom in the name of Jesus. Devil, take your hand off these children, because they belong to Jesus. They belong to God. And Father, I thank you that you came to give us an abundant life. You came to give us eternal life. You came to give us the life of God, that we can walk as children of God on the earth, that we shall not walk in lack. You were made poor that we might be made rich. You suffered that we might be made the righteousness of God. And I thank you for life eternal, life everlasting, to know you, O God, the one true God. And I thank you that your children receive this life today. This life to flow in their homes, to flow in their bodies, to flow in their families, O God, to flow in their workplaces, O God. May the life of God overcome every challenge they are facing, to the praise and honor of your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe.